things that happens in the Gospel of John, segue, yeah, okay. One of the things that happens in the Gospel of John is that Jesus meets with people, and that happens in other Gospels as well. But in 3 and 4, there are two people, that Nicodemus, and then there's the lady at the well. And it's awesome to see that as Jesus talks to these folks, he doesn't play games. I mean, this is the thing. We live in a culture with political correctness and such. And even Christians, they kind of want to, you know, be real careful about how they share with people so they don't upset them. And it was interesting as I was looking at this for the, I don't know how many hundredth time, Nicodemus, it just dawned on me that Jesus was telling this guy what he needed to hear. And he wasn't playing around with it, right? We learn a lot about the gospel as Jesus presents it to this Jewish leader and to tell him what he needs in order to be right with God, because it's also true, of course, for us that we need the same thing. So now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." So it's interesting. First of all, he comes at night. He comes, you know, where he won't be seen, meeting with Jesus. He's a leader of the Jews, which to me means he's probably an older fella. And he's coming to meet with Jesus. We've heard John already testify. John testifies about Jesus that he is Jesus, God, creator, full of life, that he has authority to give life. I mean, this awesome name of Jesus, right? And he has power to make us children of God. We had all that in chapter 1. And Nicodemus sees him as a teacher who is sent from God because of the works. So Nicodemus doesn't get the full picture of who he is, but he knows that he's not just somebody that fell off, you know, the truck and is coming over. "Hey, man, I'm, you know." He is somebody because the works that he's doing proves that God is with him. And so his teaching is also, according to Nicodemus, must be from God, right? So he knows that he came from God. And this is how, you know, he introduces himself. And Jesus, like right away, it just says, in reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And Nicodemus, of course, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." So Jesus, again, shares. One of the things about being born again, some would say that the word again could also be from above. But the way the conversation goes, both of these people, Jesus and Nicodemus, are seeing it as born again. So you know, I think that it's better to leave it at that. But then what does that mean, right? And we'll get to that. What does it mean to be born again? But here he's talking to Nicodemus, this Pharisee, you know, this guy that lives under the law, lives under the confusion of Romans 7. Like, I want to do good, and when I try, I fail, right? In other words, that this guy, you know, he knows the law, he's living by the law, he knows the rules, he set himself up as a Pharisee, in other words, a leader in righteousness as far as the people knew. But he would also be struggling at the same time, because we know that the law can't make you right. The law can't change who you are. The law can only give you an external evidence of what good is, but it doesn't do anything inside of you to make you good. And so he would have been living under that frustration. That's why I think it's so interesting that Jesus, his first words to this guy is, "You know what? You need to be born again." You get it? In other words, here's this guy. He's living under the law. He's got to be, you know, either two things happened with Pharisees. Either they were self-righteous because they thought they were getting it right and deluding themselves, or they were frustrated. That's the only place you could fit under the law and you know, be a Pharisee. You're either going to be totally frustrated, "I can't live it out," as Romans 7 shows, or I'm like the Pharisees that you know Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, that think they're righteous and are walking around as though they're better than everybody else, where Jesus points out they're no better because the law cannot make them righteous. So whichever condition Nicodemus is in, and I would say he's probably more in the Romans 7 category, because why else would he be going to Jesus at night? But it's the idea that Jesus sees this guy. He knows where he is. He knows who he is. He knows his frustration. He knows his struggle. And he tells him straight out, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. That to me is an awesome statement, because Jesus is basically telling this guy exactly what he needs. You know, again, sometimes the way people talk to us about evangelizing, the way people talk to us about sharing their faith, is you got to be subtle. You got to be careful. Don't offend anybody. We'll see this in chapter 4. It's the same thing. Jesus tells people exactly what they need to hear. What is at stake is too large. He says, unless you're born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. What is at stake is you know, heaven and hell, right? And so, you know, he asks that question, can a man be born? And so Jesus further explains, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So again, Jesus is explaining the idea of what it means to be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, the whole thing about water and spirit, people write books about these things, right? But he clears it up in the very next sentence. What, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And he's talking about natural birth. When we're born as human beings, we are born with a sinful, fleshy nature. We live there's so much, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, there's so much about the flesh that separates us from God, that makes us God's enemies, that makes us so that we cannot live our lives before God. What's born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about, you could call it spiritual rebirth, you could call it a spiritual renewal, you could call it being filled with the Holy Ghost. However you call it, it's something Jesus says you need in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The second time he says, you know, you won't, you know, be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. You won't be able to be with God unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit, unless you're born again, unless you have spiritual renew, unless the Spirit of God is in you, right? He says in Romans 8, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. We are so dependent upon God's power and God's grace. It doesn't come by the will of man or people. The power and Spirit of God belong to God. Right? Remember what he said in the first chapter. He said Jesus had authority to make us children of God. He gave us authority to become children of God, not based upon the will of a man, not based upon the will of a husband, but based upon God's will, God's working. This is God's work, the work of giving life to souls, the work of breathing the Spirit into our being and making us renewed in Christ. That's what this, you know, poor Pharisee needed. This poor Pharisee, this guy that was trying to do it on his own, this guy that was trying to take the law and follow the rules and then take the rabbis and follow their rules and try to live up to the standard, but knowing he was failing all the time, knowing he couldn't do it, knowing he couldn't be right with a holy God. And Jesus tells him straight up, Nicodemus, what do you need? You need the Spirit of God. You need to be born again. Without that, Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Without that, Nicodemus, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. One of the most interesting things in other gospels, Nicodemus is one that asked for the body of Christ. He, you know, it said that, you know, he became a believer later. you know, as at the end of the Gospels. So here's this guy, Jesus telling him exactly what he needs. And guess what? We're no different than Nicodemus. In this regard, we are no different than Nicodemus. We must have the Spirit of God in us, or we do not belong to Him, right? Because here's the problem. The old man, the flesh, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. In Romans 8, it's you live either kata sarx, according to the flesh, or you live kata pneuma, according to the Spirit. It is that dichotomy that the Christian must struggle with, and the Christian needs help. The Christian needs help. Not necessarily the help of a priest, not necessarily only the words, but we need an indwelling power. We need a spiritual renewal that comes from God. The old man, it cannot inherit the kingdom. Flesh and blood, flesh cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you live according to the flesh and have all the characteristics of the flesh, you cannot. The kingdom of heaven is not for that. This world is for that. You see it? This world is for the flesh. That's why we got advertisements about drinking every 5 minutes. That's why sex is everywhere. That's why anger and frustrations and wars and missiles are the news every day. That's why our political leaders just sit and snipe and bark and bite at each other, right? That's for this world. That belongs here, but not in the kingdom of heaven. It has no place in the kingdom of heaven. None of that. So you cannot, the people of flesh cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to have the Spirit of God. And so look at all the things Scripture says. You know, the old man, he can't obey God. The law proves it. Hundreds of years being under the law. Over, 1,500 years by the time they get to Jesus. And these people could not obey, could not do it right. The Old Testament is a testament of failure. It's a testament of men and women just disobeying God and becoming wretched. It's a testament of judgment and condemnation. It's also a testament that says we need help. We need help. And so we can't obey God. We live as God's enemies. We follow, by nature, things that lead to sin. Okay? It ends up in separating us from God. It ends up in making us, enemies that cannot please, cannot honor, cannot glorify God, and cannot live with God. The worst part about the flesh, the worst part of the end of it, the wages of sin is death. Flesh is the host of sin. Flesh is where it all, right? And if we don't have something to counter that, then we will indeed die in our sin and be lost. In Christ, I am made a new creature. In Jesus Christ, the way the Scripture speaks about the new creation, he says in Romans 6, he says, just as Christ died and rose again, I'm supposed to rise again to a new life. We're not supposed to give the members of our body to sin as instruments of wickedness. We're supposed to give ourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And we are supposed to give the members of our body to God in righteousness, as instruments of righteousness. That's what we're supposed to be about. You can only do that through the Holy Spirit. We become the children of God. It's the actual stamp and seal of our adoption into the kingdom of God. It's what says we belong to Him. It's what says we are His. It changes who we are. It's not just a matter of changing a few behaviors. It changes the heart. It changes the soul. It reaches into the depths of who we are and makes us different. That's why we can't play church and do this. You can't be religious and do this. You need God. You need the Holy Spirit. You must be born again in order to have all the work of God in our hearts, in our lives, to make us ready to be fit for the kingdom of heaven. If we think about, the idea of heaven, the idea of the glories of it. It's interesting, God doesn't share a whole lot about it. Just we know it's there. And we know it's awesome. And we know it's perfect. And we know that we can't even imagine what God has planned for us. But the offering is here. The offering is here. In other words, he's telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus, the kingdom of heaven is available. You can see it. You can enter into it. How? If you are born again. You have to be born again. Spiritual renewal, spiritual power. We could say a lot more about the power of the Spirit, but we will move to this. Nicodemus, how can this be? It's like, of course, yeah, sure. But to this old Jewish leader, he was changing all the rules. Jesus was saying to him, basically, your laws, your rules, your rabbis, they're not going to get you to the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus, you who are a leader among your people, you who know all the rules, who try to live by the rules, you will not enter, you will not see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And then Nicodemus' response is, how can that be? How can it be that, you know, in effect, how can it be that I'm missing it? And Jesus says, you're Israel's teacher, and you don't understand these things. I tell you the truth, we speak what we know, and we testify what we've seen. But still, you people don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except for him who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So here he is. He's telling this. He's telling him the gospel. He's laying it out in front of him. Nicodemus, you have to be born again. Nicodemus, you need to be changed in your inner person. You need spiritual renewal. You need the Spirit of God inside of you, Nicodemus. How can that be? And then he tells him, the saddest thing is how many people heard Jesus. How many people heard the gospel laid out and they didn't understand or they didn't believe. The gospel is simple, isn't it? The gospel is simple. We need God's help. We need the Spirit and power of God in us. And there's only one way for that to come. There's only one way for that to come. And that's where he gets down to the part at the bottom. He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent. I talked to you about that about a month ago, right? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent. What happened? The snakes were biting the people because of their sin. They were sinning against God. And God said, Moses, make a bronze serpent and set it up on a staff in front of people. That when people looked at that thing and believed in that thing, the serpents would no longer kill it. And I remind you that the thing that's killing human beings is the flesh, is the sin. And Jesus Christ, when he was dying on that tree, he was flesh dying. And he took on the very image of what was killing us, sin. And if we believe in him, then we can be born again. Then we can receive the power of the Spirit of Christ. Then we can receive the power and the seal of adoption to join God's family and to be ready to enter into the kingdom of heaven, not to only to see it, but to go into it, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why you can't just talk about being born again and skip over to this. You know, you have to take the whole thing, right? You have to understand that the spiritual experience of receiving the Holy Spirit, the spiritual experience of being able to live right with God, being spiritually renewed, spiritually empowered, is attached strictly to believing in Jesus. Believing in his death, that his death means something. Nobody else's death means anything. Jesus' death means something. Jesus, when he died for everyone who would believe in him. He died for everyone who would put their trust in him. He died so that we could have life. He died so we could be spiritually renewed. He died so we could become the children of God. It wasn't just another death. It was the most miraculous death. It was the most powerful death. And it is the death of Jesus Christ and faith in his cross, faith in his death, that makes us right with God, that makes us ready to receive the Spirit of Christ. And so we want to remember, right? We're either going to live according to the flesh. We're going to live according to the flesh, and that leaves us in our little kids' gospel that we share, that leaves us in darkness. It leaves us in sin. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Flesh dies. Flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven unless there's a transformation, unless we have the spiritual renewal of Christ in our hearts, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the power of God in us, all the same thing, right? Unless we are born again, we will not enter, we will not see the kingdom of God. But when we believe in Jesus, when we set our heart and mind saying, whatever the world says, I don't care. Whatever the flesh says, I don't care. I care what God says. God says that Jesus Christ died for my sins. God says that that death means that I no longer have to die, that I trust in Him. And by that, you know, the Spirit of God comes. And by that power and by that grace, I am saved. It is about faith in Jesus Christ, faith in what He did, faith in who He is, that makes me right with God and a child of God. I believe in Jesus, and therefore I receive that spiritual renewal that I need. We are born again. Born again. When we believe in Jesus, I'm not talking about when you say the words. I'm not talking, because, you know, I've met people. They can say the words of the gospel. They know all of it. But when it comes down to really believing, when you really believe something, you'll stake your life on it. When you really believe in something, you'll stand on it, right? You'll trust it. That's what we're talking about, right? And of course, this is the demonstration of God's great love. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. He's telling this old Jewish leader, you realize God loves you, Nicodemus. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. You need to put your faith in what God has done, what God has given. Nicodemus, God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And then if you believe in Him, Nicodemus, you aren't condemned. In other words, you're not under the judgment of the law any longer. You no longer have to live in Romans 7, Nicodemus. He didn't know Romans 7, but you know what I mean. You no longer have to live in that struggle. You no longer have to live with that sense of condemnation hanging over you. Because the death of the Lord Jesus Christ sets us free. The death of Jesus Christ makes us God's children. The faith in Jesus Christ brings new life, because God loves you, because God cares about you. God wants you to enter into the kingdom, Nicodemus. God wants you to see it. He wants you to enter into it. He wants you to be born again, and He'll do anything, or He's done everything. I'm sorry. He's done everything that you need in order to enter into the kingdom of God. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, and so that it may be seen plainly what he has done, what has been done through God. This sums up the gospel, doesn't it? We know God is coming. We know there's that day of judgment coming. And we know that people who live carelessly, people who are trying to be righteous on their own strength, people who are using man-made rules instead of God's plan, You know, there's so many ways that people will fail, and because they're using everything but God and His plan, right, they're still in darkness. And they're going to be ashamed to try to come to the light. They're not going to want to see God, and they're not going to want to see even you or me, because they're ashamed that when we speak, it opens up the light and shows, wait a minute, I'm not getting this right, right? But for those of us, right, those of us who know Jesus Christ, those of us who believe in Him, who are trusting Him, those of us who have the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our lives, we're living in a way that when the light shines, when heaven opens up and Jesus appears, we are going to be running towards the light. We're going to be running towards Jesus. We're going to be glad to see Him, because I've been talking about you forever, but man, here you are, you know? Sometimes I get tired of talking about Jesus. Not because we don't need to hear it, but because I know when I'm done talking, I get to see Him. I get to see that light. We want to be children of light. We want to be children of light, not children of darkness. You can't live in the flesh. You can't, you know, flesh gives birth to flesh. You can't live in the flesh and be a child of the light. Flesh leads to darkness. Flesh leads to sin. Flesh leads to separation from God and hiding. Flesh is not good. The Spirit of God, the power of God, the born again work of God in our lives. That's light. The light of Christ in our heart, the light of God's powers, God's fruits, God's gifts. That's light. That'll lead us towards an ability to stand before a holy God, right? But it only comes through faith in Jesus Christ, period. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saves us. That's what gives us the power to be born again. That's what sends us down that new way of living. That's what prepares us to be children of light, or makes us children of light, so that we can stand in the light with Almighty God. Let's be ready. Let's be ready. How many of us are born again? Right? Amen. We need strength from God every day. We need to keep that renewal going. Let us walk with God, glorify God. Let's be children of the light, because that's what God intends for us. Not my plan, God's plan. God's work, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.